Thank you, Lord, your promised presence is here with us by your Spirit. I pray, Lord, as we look once again at the words of you, Lord Jesus, as you spoke them all those many, many years ago, Lord, may we hear you, as it were, out on the hillsides of Galilee, Lord, hearing the sounds of the Master. Lord, I pray you'll bless us and help us to understand what you want us to know this morning from your word. Grant us your mercies and the help of your Spirit. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, we're in Luke chapter 12. It's part of a long section. There's quite a few verses to this. Not that we're looking at them all this morning. And during Jesus' message, there are various people who ask questions inside it. So we'll be coming to those sometime later on. But here we have Jesus instructing his disciples. It's part of a message he's giving his disciples. And the reason for it is that the disciples have just seen Jesus have a pretty rough time with some Pharisees. He told them the truth, and they weren't too keen on it. And as a result, the usual way is, if you don't like the message, shoot the messenger. Right? And that's exactly what they intend to do with Jesus, of course. And perhaps there was a thought going through the disciples' minds, well, if they're doing that to him, what can we expect? And so Jesus has some words for them in this little section. So it's chapter 12, verses 1 to 12. Let's have a look then. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered, so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after killing the body, has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and yet not one of them is forgotten by God? Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And when you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." Well, it sounds little bits, but they all tie together really in quite an important way. It's meant to be an encouraging message for the disciples, but it includes a warning. So let's go first of all. Meanwhile, that's the first word in the passage. Meanwhile. And of course, that means meanwhile before, or what's just happened afterwards. Now we've got this. He just left a seriously hostile group of Pharisees and scribes, and they were baying for his blood. But this crowd turns up, and I suspect it sort of put them off a bit, because the crowds are rather more enthusiastic for Jesus than they are, of course. So Jesus continues his message, is what we've just read part of it, in order that the people who are listening, and the Pharisees, but especially his disciples, can learn something that's really, really, really important. And that's for us today too, right? Okay? So we have something to learn from them, from what's going on. That's next, please then. So, it says, I've got a picture of Black Friday there, right? Crazy, aren't they? Trampling over each other and whatever, that sort of gives you a feel of what was going on. When a crowd of many thousands had gathered, that's quite a crowd, isn't it? And Jesus used the natural lie of the land, you know, as an amplifier. He didn't have microphones and things like that, but he used the natural of the lie of the land, like an amphitheatre. Right? When many thousands had gathered, so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples. I've just made a note there. Notice the different reaction from the crowds. Right? I suspect the Pharisees would have liked to have done rather different things, but the crowds have come to hear Jesus and to see him, of course, some of the miracles he would do. And Jesus began to speak to them. And when Jesus got something to say, we better listen, eh? So some of the things he tells us here, there's a message for the disciples as well as the rest of the people. Right, next one please. So he starts with, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees. So he's not finished with the Pharisees, but he's applying something what was true of the Pharisees as a warning for us. Be on your guard, there's a danger, a warning zone. Well, he says, the yeast effects, we're not talking about yeast, you'll see in a moment, but there's something about yeast that affected the Pharisees. It's destroyed them. Yes, there's something in the Pharisees that's destroying them. Because the Pharisees were very respected people, you know, and they were the sort of spiritual leaders in their time, and they were great when they started. They wanted to keep religion pure. They wanted to please God, they wanted to do the right thing. But over years and so on, things had rather, the rot had set in, the yeast started working its way through. And so, Jesus isn't talking about bread. I hope you've got that, haven't you? The yeast of the Pharisees is not about bread. Right, so leave all the ovens behind and all that, okay, right? But there's a warning for us, and he's telling this to the disciples, of course. You watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees, right? So, the yeast can get from the Pharisees to you if you're not careful. Right, that's the point he's getting at. What destroyed them can destroy you too. And it's true. Churches have died out because of the yeast of the Pharisees. So we're going to have a look at what he's talking about. Next then, please. So he's got a picture of yeast for you. Have you seen yeast like that before? That's a microscopic photo, of course. Yeast is little blobs, and they bulge off another blob to grow. They keep growing by splitting off, right? And produce lots and lots of little bits of yeast. And the yeast, eats the sugar effectively and turns the sugar into carbon dioxide and water, and the carbon dioxide bubbles away to make it the bread blow up, of course, yeah? Okay, right, so the yeast spreads through the dough, right? One of the things that's important about yeast in the Bible is that in the Passover service and in the sin offerings, yeast had to be excluded. No, they used the word leaven because they didn't grow yeast, they grew the stuff that had yeast in it, the dough with yeast in it. Sourdough sometimes as well. Okay? So there had not to be any leaven, or yeast as we call it, in the Passover offerings or in the sin offerings. And as a result of that, the word yeast became associated with sin quite often. Yeah? So it's the idea of sin spreading through and affecting things is the idea of what yeast does. Okay? Right, next then please. So, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now then, it's a Greek word, is hypocrisy, but it's not a Greek problem. What does the word hypocrisy come from? It comes from the word to act. It means to put on a face, a mask. Right? So it's about being an actor. Right? Any potential actors or actresses here? Yeah? Right? And so we have the two masks. One for looking sad, one for looking happy. You put the mask on, of course. But, of course, Jesus wouldn't have used the word hypocrisy. It's a Greek word. He could have, I'm sure, but he spoke Hebrew, I suspect, to the people there. And the Bible, in the Old Testament, doesn't have the word for hypocrisy, but it's got other ideas. The idea to flatter somebody, it comes into that. And also, one about colouring or dyeing something. Because that covers over the surface, doesn't it? That's the idea of the hypocrisy. So the Holy Spirit chose the right word or Luke to translate it by, but the underlying idea, it much more in the Old Testament, it's not so much about pretending to be something, it talks more about the nasty effects of what you do. It's like pollution, that's why I've got the picture of poison there. So let me show you just a couple of verses. Isaiah 24 verse 5 says something about the effects of their hypocrisy or their polluting ideas. Right, let's have a fish. Isaiah 24, verse 5. Yeah. The earth is defiled by its people. They have disobeyed the laws, violated the statutes, and broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse consumes the earth, and its people must bear their guilt. The word defiled is that idea of hypocrisy, the toxic effects of the way they behaved, right? And Jeremiah says a very similar thing in Jeremiah 23, but he's talking about something a bit closer to home in a way, because he talks about the prophets in there, if I remember rightly. Jeremiah 23 verse 15 says this. This is what the Lord Almighty says concerning the prophets. I will make them eat bitter food and drink poisoned water, because from the prophets of Jerusalem ungodliness has spread throughout the land. That ungodliness idea is the hypocrisy game again, yeah? So he's saying is that they're going to taste poison because they're poisoning people. Right? That's what the Lord is threatening there. Now then, essentially, of course, this whole idea of hypocrisy is really important. He's warning the disciples, we can fall into the trap. And it's not so much saying one thing and doing another, that's partly it, but it's playing at it. That's what the original meaning of the word hypocrite was, wasn't it? Someone who was an actor, an actress. Playing at your faith is not a good thing. We can take it seriously. And we have one example of Ananias and, well, it's a couple. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. You've heard of Ananias and Sapphira?
Yes.
There was an occasion when people were making generous donations to help the poor in the church. Right? They didn't have social services, so people who were really needy, and others who had something wanted to help. And so they brought generous gifts to the apostles who distributed it to the poor. Right? Ananias and Sapphira, they saw that and they saw how well people were thought of when they'd done a good deed like that, yeah? And so Ananias and Sapphira decided they'd sell something and give some of the money to the church. Fine. Nothing wrong with that, is there? But what they did do was they pretended that they gave the whole lot of what they'd got for the piece of property. That they were making it look like they were giving everything they'd got for this property to the church. Right? So effectively, they were lying. That's what hypocrisy is all about. It's lying. It's not reality. Right? And so, who rumbled them? God did. And he told Peter. And Peter confronted them, and Ananias dropped dead. And then later on, his wife dropped dead when they were faced up with what they'd done. Serious business, you see. And that was the first outward sin of the church. And God dealt with it very severely. And it was hypocrisy. That rotten yeast could have got into everything and spoiled everything when they were beginning to pretend and look good rather than being real. And we find something rather sad also. I'll take this now. Yeah, Peter and Barnabas in Galatians. Paul had to confront them. You read it in Galatians chapter 2. What happened was simply this. Peter and Barnabas were in Galatia and they were in a Gentile church. It was a substantially Gentile community there, right? But they were Jews, and they had no problem in eating their food with the Gentiles. Yeah? Whether they ate kosher or not is irrelevant. They probably did, I don't know. But they ate with the Gentiles. Nothing wrong with having a meal together, is there? Right? But who should turn up but some ex-Pharisees? They were believers, but they were, really keen on keeping the rules. Right? And when Peter sees these Pharisee guys turn up, what does he do? He pulls away from having meals with the Gentiles. Right? And Barnabas saw it, and he did it as well. That's called yeast spreading. And what happens is Paul comes along, and he gives them a real blasting. You read about it in Galatians. He really told them off. He says, you are Jew, right, Peter? And you, you behave like a Gentile, and yet you're making these Gentiles behave like Jews. Says, don't you know, we're not saved by what we eat, we're saved by Jesus, trusting him. And so Peter and Barnabas were rebuked, and he describes it as hypocrisy. They weren't acting in line with the truth. They were being something else that they should have been, than what they should have been. Yeah? So, terrible thing. Really terrible. And we need to watch out, brothers and sisters. We've got to be real. Right? Now, there's a big question about that, of course. We were talking about it on Friday night a little bit. Can't spend too much time going into it, but does doing something that makes an appearance, is it always hypocrisy? Not necessarily. I quoted an example for it. There was a program on the box we were watching. It's DIY SOS or something like that. Some of you may have seen it. and the chaps go in and help somebody out who's in their wit's end, they can't cope, and help the families out, you know, some really needy people. Well, this particular one was a man, he was a young man, he got six children, his wife had died of cancer, and he was a good dad, really good dad, but very tough with the house that they had, so they came to sort it out. But he explained that as his children were quite young, he didn't tell them that mum was dying until it was absolutely necessary. He put on the appearance, you could say, of making it seem like she was all right, not very well, but all right, until he had to explain to them she's not going to make it, to prepare them for the worst, of course. Now then, I ask you the question, was he being a hypocrite by telling the kids that mum was all right for a while? What's the issue about being a hypocrite is, it's all about me. I want to look good, I want to seem nice, I want people to think this about me. He wasn't doing that. He was doing it for somebody else, for his kids. So Jesus is really getting at this motive. If your heart's wrong, it'll show somewhere along the line. Yeah? So there's the danger. Don't let that yeast of hypocrisy begin to take its effect in our life, where we pretend and we make it up. It's not good. It's not good. Jesus is warning the disciples, stay real. Right, next please, yeah? Right, and then Jesus says, you know, one thing about hypocrisy is it's going to come out somewhere. Right, and so he says this, there's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you've said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you've whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. In other words, the truth will come out. I promise you that. I do promise you that. If you're a Christian, I promise you the truth will come out. Your Heavenly Father will see to it. Sinners, the world, get away with it for ages, you know. Right? Though it is my prayer, and maybe the Lord's been answering this for some of us, that he would expose the hypocrisy and the lies in our system. You know? That's what we're to pray for, that the Lord will expose the evil that's going on. And there's been some real revelations of late, have they not? Yeah? But Jesus says, and I promise you this, for a believer, yeah, it may take years to come out with governments and people in power and so on, but the Lord will have a way of blowing your cover very quickly. Why? Because he loves you. He knows if that yeast gets growing in your life, it will mess you up serious. So he brings it out into the open. So whatever's going on in the quiet, dear friends, don't be surprised if he finds his way out somewhere. Right, so he's warning them. Right, don't play the game. Right. Next, please. I tell you, my friends, now that he's, remember they just had a bad session with the Pharisees. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Right. So who's he talking about? He's talking about God. He says, don't be afraid of people. They can kill you. Big deal. They're going to kill him. Big deal. Right? He's coming back. Right? So, don't be afraid of people. That's basically it. Don't be afraid of limited man. And he's telling this to his disciples, you know. It's to comfort them. Does this sound comforting to you? I hope it does. Right? Because, you know, we are sitting very cosy here, but we've got brothers and sisters in some parts of the world where they're very happy to kill your body. Yeah? Right? And Jesus is saying to them, don't be afraid of them. That's all they can do to you. It's amazing, isn't it? Because Jesus says, you know, there's something happening on the other side. Be afraid of him who, when you're dead, has a way of getting rid of you as well. Says he has the power after you've been killed to throw you into hell. Now that's Jesus talking, that's not me, I'm not making it up. Jesus taught about hell, did you realise that? Yes. Why did Jesus teach about hell? Because it's real and he cares about people not going there. And that's why he's warning us, right? So he says, you'll be afraid of God. What sort of fear is he talking about? Yeah? What they've done to Jesus, they'll do to them. He's telling them that's going to happen, of course, and he did. For all those disciples that Jesus was teaching there, there were 12 of them, Judas excluded, but for those other 11, 10 of them were all martyrs. John died as a natural death, but he died as a prisoner. So, you know, Jesus is telling them, what they've done to me, they'll do to you. Don't be frightened of them. Right? Because you fear God. He's the one. What does he mean by having a correct fear of God? Proper respect. Play it real. We're not playing games. Right? Trust him. He cares for you, as we'll see in our next picture. Right. There you are. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, yet not one of them is forgotten by God? Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. Well, what's all that mean? God cares for you. Right? 5 sparrows, what did they do with the sparrows? Sparrow pie. That's what it was. Can't get much of a pie out of a sparrow, that's why I need 5. Right? They used to do that, didn't they, in the old days? No, but it's a sparrow pie, but there were more sparrows around as well. Right? That's what it's about. Okay. 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies. That's cheap, you know. Don't cost very much, he said. And even those little things, those insignificant things, God knows about. Isn't that, I found that astounding. You know? Think about it. All the information, we're in an information mass now, aren't we? Yeah? But think of it. All the information that's ever been and ever will be, God knows just like that. Instant access. Absolutely astounding. That's my God. Wow. Right? And then he says, indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. For some people, it's easier than others, of course. Right? Yeah? Well, what's he mean, all the hairs of your head are numbered? Does that mean say God goes round counting? He knows me, Paul, they're all there, but they've all gone. Yeah? Yeah. But he knows everything, that's the point he's trying to convey. He knows every little detail. One hair's not really important, is it? Unless you've lost most of them. He says, look, it might not seem important to you, but they're important to God. Right? It's all part of his way, his world, and the things he's doing. And so, he's really trying to say, God cares for you, God values you, and he knows you. Isn't that wonderful? He knows everything about you. Is that good? And he's trying to encourage the disciples in that, yeah? He says, look, you know, all this stuff we've been talking about, the terrible things you might have to face sometimes, he says, don't be afraid, because God loves you and he cares for you. That lovely? Next slide, please. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned because of the angels before the angels of God. Wow. What's the danger for the disciples? Having seen what Jesus gets from the Pharisees, what's the danger for the disciples? Getting some of the same. What do? Keep your head down. Jesus says, don't keep your head down. You be proud of being one of my followers. Yeah? And you just let them know you're one of my... Yeah? I mean, you don't go out of your way to be awkward, difficult, or bolshy, right? Yeah? But he says, yeah, if you acknowledge me before others, right, see what? I'm going to acknowledge you before the angels. Right? The time's coming, he says, when we're all going to stand before the Father, and Jesus is going to say, that's one of my Father. Right? Yeah? Is that worth having a bit of whack for? You bet. Right? Paul says, I consider what we go through now not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. And so, he says, great rewards for the faithful. But he then says, those who deny him, they're going to really lose out. They're going to be rejected. That's sad, isn't it? And why are they rejected? Because they've turned away from the offer of life. That's the sad thing. So, Jesus is saying, don't be afraid to admit being Jesus' disciple. What's going on in the picture? The baptismal service. That's a way of acknowledging before people, I'm a follower of Jesus. That's what it's about, yeah? It's not just a matter of getting wet and all that, and the ritual cleansing and all of that thing. It's also a public thing to say, I'm one of his. Right? And maybe some of you know Andrew White, or have heard of him, the Bishop of Baghdad, as he was known. Right? Good man. Good man. In Baghdad, he had a big church there. Of course, they've killed up most of them now. But he says, you know, 1 week I baptized half a dozen people, and the next week I was burying them. Yeah? Why? Because they were openly confessing before everybody that they were followers of Jesus. And they got home sooner than we thought. I know where they are. They were defeated. So, don't be afraid to admit being Jesus' disciple. That's important. That was a verse the Lord spoke to me, sort of. Not the same verse, but this was before I became a Christian. Yeah? Told some of you the story before. It was when I was at the genetics department at Cambridge University as a student. And I was singing a hymn. You know, one sings hymns, doesn't one? I learned to read music from hymns. So I was singing a hymn. I think it was Jesus, Lover of My Soul. Yeah? Anyway, one of the staff there, one of the lecturers, says, what are you singing? I said, oh, it's a hymn. And she said to me, you don't believe that stuff, do you? To which I said, oh, I was just singing it because it's a nice tune. And I heard a voice, not audible, I heard a voice, those who deny me, I will deny. I wasn't a Christian then. I think it was a warning shot, wasn't it? Yes. I wouldn't do it now. If she says, why do you think you don't believe that stuff? I say, I most certainly do. Anyway, the Lord gives us second chances, it would seem, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. Next, please. Right. Everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Right? Jesus says, you can say all sorts of things about him, and he's prepared to forgive you. Is that amazing? It's true. But he says, if you start talking about the Holy Spirit, you'll have big problems. Why? Why is that the case? Blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. Saying that what's happening is not the Spirit, but it's the devil. That's one of the things that they're doing. Pharisees got close to that. What's wrong with that? It's because when you go against the Holy Spirit, you're going against the very person who brings you the forgiveness. Right? It's like someone delivering you a meal and you say, I don't want it. You'll go hungry. Naturally. Okay, so rejecting or cursing the testimony coming from the Holy Spirit has very serious consequences. Judgment will be given against them. So he says. Right? To totally refuse the offer of salvation leaves you without salvation. That's why you can't be forgiven when you won't accept being forgiven. But one of the sad things is, and this is how it works, I'm afraid to say, you harden yourself against the Spirit speaking, right? And it becomes easier next time to be harder still. It says in the Old Testament, Pharaoh hardened his heart. It also says God hardened him. But the way we'd say God hardened him was God gave him the strength to keep getting harder. And what finished up was Pharaoh rejecting everything and destroying not only his kingdom, but his people as well, and his family. Right? So, serious consequences of going against the Holy Spirit. So, Jesus is warning his disciples, you keep in tune with him. Right then, please. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Right? Isn't that lovely? He's saying is, he didn't say if you are, he says when. You notice that? They're going to face, this is the tragedy. It's the authorities that are anti-God. It's the system that's against him. And that's happening in our country now. Right? The system is becoming more anti-Christian. And so, he says the time will come for them when they'll be brought before the judges and the authorities, they'll be arrested on this, that and the other. That's happened today, you know that's happening. Right? Pastor in Northern Ireland was put before the court because he said something that was true about Islam that wasn't very nice. Right? They picked the wrong guy to fight. If you want someone to back down, don't pick an Ulster Protestant, is all I can say. Yeah? Okay? But street preachers, they've been hauled up before the police. Yeah? Jesus says, when you come to that situation, don't worry about what you've got to say. Right? Don't worry about defending yourself. Although we've got good lawyers now, some good Christian lawyers, which is great. Right? But he's really saying is, don't be afraid. I'll be there with you. I can help you. You'll be able to answer them. And don't worry. There's a lovely example with John Bunyan. He had a great sense of humour. He was hauled before what was called Hanging Judge Jeffreys. You can imagine what kind of judge he was, can't you? Right? So he was being accused of being an outdoor preacher. You were banned from preaching outdoors. The Anglican Church had really locked you up, you know. So he's an outdoor preacher, and they arrested him. And he said, "You've been accused, Bunyan, of being a preacher out there." He says, "Well, sir, I only preach twice." "What do you mean twice?" He says, "Well, that's it. He says, preach in season and out of season." he wasn't very pleased, but never mind. Bunyan took it as he should, yeah. Anyway, so he said, "Don't worry. The Holy Spirit will give you what you need to say." Right? "Don't worry. Right? Don't worry beforehand, because that'll make you worse, won't it? Just trust the Lord." Now, this is not a verse. I must obviously, is anybody going to do any speaking fairly soon? This is not a verse for people going to preach. Right? We need to depend on the Holy Spirit. I depend on the Holy Spirit to help me. But that doesn't mean to say you shouldn't do your homework. Right? Quite a few preachers have said that, you know, they had a holy thought walking up to the front. Yeah? Well, fine, good. But God wants to give his people some food, you know. And so, right, don't worry. What are you going to say? Next, please. So this is a summary of what it's all about. Not one of them is forgotten by God. These are verses that we've looked at already. Not one is forgotten by God. The Son of Man will also acknowledge you, and the Holy Spirit will teach you. You see, in Jesus' teaching, it's about the Trinity again, isn't it? The Father loves you, right? He knows all about you. Jesus will recognize you and call you his, if you put your trust in him, right? And the Holy Spirit will help you and teach you. That's not bad, is it, eh? Father knows, the Son forgives, the Holy Spirit enables. And so, keep it real. It's all about, and this is a word that we don't hear too much about these days, integrity. Are you really what you claim to be? Now, I know there's none of us there, are we, really? If all, it's all written down, there's none of us absolutely right, perfect, got it all together, right? But, you know, God wants you to be real. He doesn't, you know, the world doesn't expect you to be perfect. He just wants you to be real. That's right. There's a difference. He doesn't expect you to be perfect. Now, they come down on you when you do make mistakes, but that's how they are, aren't they? But he does expect you to be real. And that's what we've got to be. If people want to see Jesus, the only way they're going to see Jesus is through real people with Jesus in our lives. Yeah? Okay, let's pray, shall we? And then we'll come and celebrate Jesus' death for us. Lord, thank you. Lord, for the encouraging words, as tough as they can be, Lord, that you love us. You know everything about us, and you care for us. So, Lord, we just praise you that we can call you our Father, because Jesus gave his life for us. As we come to share together in a few moments, Lord, thank you. Thank you. We remember Jesus' death for us. Personal. Each one known by name. The very hairs on our head are numbered. Lord, you know us, each one. We're not just a great lump of humanity. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for your warnings. Keep us from hypocrisy, from pretending, Lord, from play acting. Help us, Lord, to be real. I ask your help, Father, in Jesus' name.